Oh, good afternoon. Thanks for praying. I want to pray for you right now, for your intentions. Thank you for being with me over the course of this year. We're approaching Christmas. Before you know it, we're in the new year. I want to pray for every contributor to this network. I want to pray for my colleagues here behind the scenes. I want to pray for Maggie and for Patrick and for Tom and all those who work on my show specifically. And just ask for God's continued blessings. Relevant, I think, is a special... it's a special gift. I think God really has blessed this apostolate, has called it forth in these troubled times, and has brought to you powerful prayers like the chaplain, powerful prayers like the rosary. We have the Mass and so many other gifts. I'm glad you found us. If you're new to us, stay tuned and listen. You're going to, I think, really enjoy the programming. If you've been listening a while, tell others. Let's continue to spread the word. And please tell others about the chaplain. We got to pray together. We got to ask God for mercy and just ask for tremendous blessings here. I want to share just a couple quick emails with you, and then Maggie's going to join me for the chaplain. This person said to me, Drew, I just wanted to share, my daughter who's been away from the church for 24 years has finally returned. Many chaplains of Divine Mercy, I've been spending time in adoration. She even sent us a picture of the Advent wreath that she made and a devotional book that she's using this season. The miraculous turnaround from this wild child on the other side of the country. She lived in Seattle. Wanted nothing to do with the church, nothing to do with God, or nothing to do with praying, is really just an unbelievable fruit of this prayer. Her choice of confirmation name, believe it or not, was Mary Magdalene all those years ago. Maybe it had something to do with her. But please share with those who are listening to never give up. And I just thank you for writing that. And I agree. Never give up. Never give up. God will respond. Maybe not in our time, but he always answers. I just endorsed a Divine Mercy book that I had to an old friend of mine. He's probably one of the oldest friends I have. I went to grade school with him. And his brother was going through a really tough time. And I was reading a passage from St. Faustina's diary. I think it's 1598 or 430. I forget the exact passage right now. But what the Lord said, no matter what troubles you're going through, no matter what the difficulty, I am with you, and rely on my grace. Rely on it. Trust in it. And he'll do everything for you. So today, let's pray for you, because I'm sure you might be going through a difficult time right now. It might be hard for you. And we'll just pray that God works those great miracles in your life. One more answered prayer. This person says, this is just a prayer of thanksgiving, Drew. I wrote to you just a couple weeks ago regarding my husband's health. He had his MRI, and they retested his PSI. Today, we waited for the results, and I realized I didn't read yesterday's reading. My mouth was filled with praise, and I'll sing your glory was the verse. Well, the doctor walked in to give us results. His PSI, now listen to this, it went from a 6, which is really high, went all the way down to a 1.5. She said the small mass was found. He's going to require a follow-up blood test within 3 months. But praise God, the doctor said, all is good. And I just want all to know, I just want all to know and to praise God for his mercy. Well, Lorraine, I'm happy for you. Thank you for writing that. Congratulations to your husband. Let's pray for you now, okay? And Margaret's joining me. She prays every day. And if you want to send your intentions in, you can go to our Twitter page, @DrewMariani Show. And just give us your prayer intentions, and Maggie will bring them forward to you. You can follow me, @DrewMariani, as well. I'd appreciate it if you did. And Mags, anything you want to pray for personally before we get to our intentions?
Well, one housekeeping prayer. John Morales asked me to lift up the repose of the soul of Therese Turpin.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
And he got kind of misty-eyed telling me about her. So I want to lift her up and the whole family that's left behind.
Let me be on that point, and my condolences go out to the Turpaks, and they suffered a terrible loss. This is a wonderful family. She called herself, this beautiful lady who just was called home to God, she called herself the secretary to the Secretary of Divine Mercy. And I Mr. and Mrs. Thomas Turpak, God bless you. In 2014, they gave me a really unique gift. I have never talked about this on the air. I'd been to Ghana several times. It's an African country. It's incredible poverty over there. These people went around, and they would establish Divine Mercy chapels, and they dedicated one in Ghana under my name. And I'm just so grateful for their mercy and what they do to spread divine mercy. And it's a tremendous loss to lose her. And I just want to pray for her son and his wife and for all those who are suffering. But go ahead, Maggie, I'll let you pick it up.
Yeah, well, the only other prayer that I have before we get started, I want to lift up anyone that might have trouble staying warm during this cold snap and over this Christmas. I want to lift up anyone who's homeless, anyone who's alone, anyone who's having trouble making ends meet. I'm praying that the Lord of Abundance, who's kind and merciful, will take care of those who need him.
Amen to that. Let's pray right now, especially for those who have nowhere to go. All right, Lord, I just ask for your mercy on them. And again, I pray this time of year, especially for those who mourn. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and was born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From there, he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Amen. We'll take our first call today. Nadine is praying with us in Wisconsin. Hi, Nadine.
Hi. First, I'd like to say a thanksgiving to God and all the people who pray the chaplet. I called on October 26th. That was the day you were doing the rosary to.
And yeah, I remember that.
I was asking prayers for my sister to be released from her short-term rehab by St. Jude the 28th, that Friday. And indeed she was, and it was quite miraculous that all came together. But I'm asking prayers today for myself. I have a job that I believe was the answer to prayers, but the devil's throwing a lot of obstacles in my pathway, and I'm asking for prayers, especially with completion of a whole bunch of different assignments. It seems impossible, but nothing's impossible with God. And just help with the daily routine of the job. And then one other thing is for a close friend, Robert, who is suffering. He's a prayer warrior, but he's suffering. And for his wife, who is his main caregiver, that God will enlighten all of the doctors and nurses involved in his care and anyone who's sick. Help them all.
Well, God bless you. God bless you. Now, I'm so grateful for your call, Dean, and we'll pray for all those intentions. And Lord, there's so many on hold. I'm going to try to get several more calls in today than I normally do. But I pray for that upcoming work assignment and for a friend who's ill, for all those intentions, Lord, that she voiced, all those who are crying out to you today. And I just ask for Christmas miracles. That's my intercessory prayer today, that you put into motions. I'm so grateful for your answered prayer. And I remember your telephone call. I'm so grateful that things worked out in a way that didn't seem possible. And God can do that. He finds ways out of situations that have no way out for you. And Lord, I just pray for those miracles for those who also need prompt answers and unbelievable results. Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Is there one more, Maggie? How many more do I have?
I had two more.
Two more. Okay, I wasn't sure. I'm not praying with my rosary today. For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right. Our next call is Louise, and she is praying in Flushing, New York. Hey, Louise, good afternoon.
Thank you, Drew, for taking my call. And before I forget, Merry Christmas to everyone there, and I listen to you and pray with you every day. I'm calling for my friend Kelly, who had a devastating house fire yesterday morning. It's a two-family home. There were 11 injuries, including three firefighters, and the house is inhabitable.
Oh, my gosh. How tragic. Well, let's pray for them right now, all right? We do not know the day or the hour that tragedy strikes, right? Especially house fires. Well, you lose everything in something like that. Lord, I pray for those who have, and we'll re-echo Maggie's prayer, no one, nowhere to stay. I want to pray for those who've lost things. Yeah, I said this to my wife the other day, Louise. It was interesting you say that. I said, you look at everything in your home, how hard you've worked, what you've acquired, the memories, the things that have been passed down. And with a house fire, they can be just eradicated. And there's a bishop in Green Bay who once told me, Bishop Rick, and said, hold on to things very, very lightly. All this stuff is fleeting. You know, but Lord, I just pray for blessing on that family. I pray for those who are suffering tragedy and accident at this time of year. I want to pray for this beautiful woman who called in for all the intentions she personally has. She hasn't voiced one for herself. And I just ask again this Christmas that you show up in miraculous ways and that this be a time of great surprise, great blessing. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, we will go to, Linda, before I do that, let me bring Maggie in. She's monitoring your prayer intentions on Twitter at Drew Mariani Show. And Maggie, what can we pray for today?
Chris wrote to us and she said, praying for our country to come together in his name this season. And I thought that was beautiful. Jeff is asking for prayers for a surgery tomorrow morning and for the doctor who will be doing the surgery. He says, let the Blessed Mother cover me and the doctor with her holy mantle. And actually, we've gotten a lot of tweets about surgeries and operations, so I just want to lift up anyone who might be praying for that. Antonella said, Drew, your chaplet and your show yesterday spoke directly to me.
Wow.
I can't give up. I won't give up.
Amen.
I'll keep praying for that miracle. Thank you all for your prayers. God bless you and everyone at Relevant Radio. And Andrea wrote to us and said, good afternoon. I want to ask for prayers that I can have courage. Last week, God gave me a big opportunity that I've been praying for, but I was really nervous and I did the opposite of what I wanted to do. She says, I want to be able to say what I need to say. Thank you and God bless.
It's so hard. It's hard to do that, but we'll pray for that courage. I mean, we all face it, don't we?
Yep.
We're not as vocal as perhaps we should be speaking truth. Well, Lord, I just pray for every one of those intentions that came in. And thank you for the way the Spirit works through this program. It has nothing to do with me. I feel the Holy Spirit sometimes just lead us and guide us. And I know he's speaking to many of you very directly. You hear these testimonies. It's very evident that God wants you to believe and know that he hears you and that he's answering your prayers. Linda in Philadelphia, thanks for waiting so long. Good afternoon.
Hi, Drew. Thank you for taking my call. I am Asking for prayers to my friend Mike, who they found something, a tumor, and they're doing further testing tomorrow. And the testing comes back okay, that everything's going to be okay.
All right, well, let's pray. We'll pray for good results, just like we heard just a few moments ago. Lord, I again, you're in control. You're the divine physician. If for some reason there is a greater good that comes from this situation, then we ask for the grace to recognize that and submit ourselves to it. But I ask that those test results come back with good news. And I ask for anyone waiting for blood work, anyone who's waiting for their CAT scan or their MRI or whatever test it is that they are waiting on, that you just be merciful to them, and that this will bring glory to you, to the power of this prayer, to the great sacrifice of your Son. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, Daniel is praying with us in Los Angeles. Hi, Danielle, or Daniel, I should say.
Hi, Drew. Hey. I just wanted to pray for my wife and I. We currently have a boy and a girl.
Yeah.
And we just found out that we're expecting another baby, so we're excited, a little nervous. So we just really ask for prayers so that way we can do whatever we can to raise our family.
Well, what a blessing. First of all, brother, let me just speak to you. In this respect, I went through exactly what you're going through. You know, my wife and I got pregnant. And about 13 months later, you know, we had two babies under two, and then we got pregnant with our third. So we basically had three babies, you know, getting out of diapers. I mean, it was crazy. But I'll tell you what a blessing to have them close together like that. You'll get through it. Trust me on that. And if God's giving you these gifts, embrace them. He'll give you the grace to make it through. My grandmother gave me great advice one time, too, because sometimes I would worry financially. You know, I was young, forming my family, and how am I going to take care of this family? My gosh, three young babies, and what's going to happen when they get to school? And she says, for every child God gives you, Drew, he'll give you a loaf of bread, meaning God will provide. He will take care of you. God is blessing you, Daniel. He's blessing you, and your wife will pray for another healthy child, and we'll pray that these child all be dedicated to God's mercy and enveloped and protected by them. And Lord, I pray for those who struggle with pregnancy. You know, I had a conversation with somebody I work with today who never thought he could have a child. And when they had their first child, they were totally shocked. And 2 years later, another one. So God can surprise you. You might be praying for that child. Might take a while. Keep praying. You know, you might be having trouble with your pregnancy now. Lord, I pray for healing if that's the case. I want to pray for that mother that's thinking about ending her child's life. I want to pray for the mother who made that mistake, that she can find your healing and your love and your mercy. So I give you all these intentions. And we thank you for the birth of Daniel's third child as we pray. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, I'll try to get a few extra calls in this last decade today. We'll go to Liz first. She's in Merrillville, Indiana. Hi, Liz.
Hi, Drew. I just want to an answered prayer. I tweeted out a message yesterday about my niece. She's 6 months. Her white blood cells were high. They were going to retest her at 3 o'clock, and if they were still high, she was going to have the baby. I got a text from her today. She came home. She's doing good. And
well,
praying that there's no more bleeding. Yes, that'll get. She has three more months.
I love it. That's so good. That's so great. Well, let's keep praying. That's great news. Congratulations.
Yes, it is. Thank you. Thank you.
I'm so glad. We'll pray for you, and we'll pray for your niece, too. And Lord, I pray for anyone who's had those rising white blood cells. I want to pray for anyone who is concerned about their health as well. You know, that 3 o'clock hour is such a special hour. This woman we were talking about, Ms. Turpak, who just passed away, she died at the 3 o'clock hour, a woman who dedicated herself to mercy. And this is another promise of the Lord. We talk about the promises of the chapel, but the hour of mercy. Lord asked Faustina to visit him in the Blessed Sacrament, and she couldn't. And she couldn't do the stations at that time, and just even for the briefest moment, meditate on his passion. And the Lord gave it that particular hour, the same promises that he gave to the chapel, practically, that anything you ask of in virtue of his passion will be granted to you. So, you know, in that hour, remember our Lord's passion and ask big. Ask for what you want, for those good test results, those healings, that reconciliation, that new job, that future spouse, whatever it may be. Francesca in San Jose, California. Good afternoon.
Hi, thank you.
Hey.
Yes, I'm asking for a prayer for my brother Manuel. I'm praying to St. John of Lychee for a patron saint of people with brain injuries. Manuel has no brain activity, so we need an absolute miracle.
All right. Well, let's pray for it, Francesca. I'm gonna believe big, okay? We'll pray for that. I have a nephew I often talk about who had head trauma, too, and he's a walking miracle today. And, you know, this Lord's miracle, this nun that I shared a little bit earlier, whose foot was backwards and went to Lord's, and 2-3 days later, miraculously cured, foot turned around, and it's now the 70th approved miracle at Lord's. There's thousands of them, but this is the one the church officially meets with its criteria. So God shows us today, you know, that he is an intimate part of our life and that he can heal just as instantly as he did 2,000 years ago. And I'm just so grateful for the answered prayers that come in and for the testimonies that we see, because it helps build my faith. And we'll pray for your situation there too, and especially for that brother who's really in serious situation. Valerie in Parker, Colorado. Good afternoon. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Valerie, I missed you. Could you start again? I didn't click your button. No, go right ahead. It's my
fault.
Hello,
I am calling about a young man named Kevin. He is a student at KU, and he is in ICU with sepsis and pneumonia. It's very serious. The next 6 hours are pretty critical, and his mom has had him anointed by a priest, and she's asking for a miracle. So if you could all pray for that, that would be great.
Thanks for being an intercessor. We're going to pray. If the next 6 hours are critical, there's a lot of prayer coming his way. So we will pray for Kevin in ICU right now with sepsis and pneumonia. Next 6 hours are critical. Heavenly Father, hear my prayers. Hear the prayers of all of your children crying out to you now. And in a particular way, we ask you to send angels to heal. Send your mercy to envelop. And we just pray for a real turn in his condition from this moment forward, from the moment we say these prayers. This man begins to turn to heal for the better. And I give you that. And I give you Valerie's intentions, too. I know she didn't say anything. I'll sneak another call in if I can. Laura in New Jersey, as we're trying to get a number of calls in on this last decade. Hi, Laura.
Hi, Drew. Thank you for answering my call. I am requesting the help from all the prayer warriors to help us, please, please, find my son's girlfriend, Leah Snowden, who has been missing since last Friday in Calgary, Canada, and we haven't heard anything. We don't know anything what's going on. All I'm asking is for all the prayers from all of you guys. Thank you.
Oh, well, we're going to pray for you, Laura. I'm glad you got through. I'm glad I was able to take a few extra calls today, too, because this is one of those, I talk about charisms. I mean, this prayer is good for anything, right? For any prayer or intention we have. But it seems missing people get found after we pray for them, or vital, you know, organ transplants that are needed or are received or no longer even needed. We see the fruit of this particular prayer. So, Lord, I pray for this person who is missing, for Leah, and for all those who are being human trafficked, those who are lost, those who have been kidnapped, those who are in very dangerous situations right now. But I ask you, hear the cries of Laura, who called on, interceding for her. And now, one more. I'll take another call. Maureen in Libertyville, Illinois. Good afternoon.
Thank you. I'm calling to offer prayers up for all families that have struggles with their kids, and that through this Christmas season, there's nothing but joy and peace.
Amen.
And for all those that struggle with cancer, addiction, and mental health issues.
Thank you, Maureen, for calling. I cover so many people. And this first intention you brought forward, especially for unity. You know, Lord, I pray against the spirit of division that often infects families and creates divides, especially over the holidays. I pray for unity and reconciliation and healing, that the joy of your birth can be celebrated. Lord, I ask that this coming year of 2023 can be a year filled with extraordinary grace, healing, peace, and mercy. And I pray for everyone on hold, for Joe in North Carolina and Stephen in Sheboygan and Kathleen and Elizabeth and David and Laura and Rob and Sue and Peter, everyone who's on hold, everyone who's writing to me. I just ask for your mercy. Envelop them. Hear their prayers. I give you everyone right now, Lord, who's uniting their heart with mine as we pray. Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, please look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us, so that in difficult moments we may not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Our Lady, Queen of Heaven.
Pray for us.
Our Lady of Good Help.
Pray for us.
Mother of Mercy.
Pray for us.
Our Lady of Guadalupe.
Pray for us.
Our Lady of Palestine.
Pray for us.
Our Lady, Reconciler of Peoples and Nations.
Pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful.
Pray for us.
Saint Joseph.
Pray for us.
Saint Faustina.
Pray for us.
Saint John Paul II.
Pray for us.
Saint Peregrine.
Pray for us.
And that patron saint of head injuries. Whoever that was.
Yeah.
I don't know if I remember his name, but please pray for us.
Lychee.
It sounds familiar. And St. Jose Maria Escriva, St. Patrick, Blessed Michael Sopochka, all you angels and saints.
Pray for us.
Pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Hey, thank you so much for praying with me. I can't tell you how much it means. Please pray for me, too. I could always use your prayers. When I come back, I'll give you a little insight from St. Faustina, too. You know, Christmas is right around the corner, and I love sharing. Our Lady appeared to her. St. Joseph appeared to her. Saints appeared to her, as well as Jesus, of course. But Faustina was given a glimpse of Christmas morning. I'll share what she records in her diary right after this.
Tweet us your prayer intention anytime. On Twitter, at Drew Mariani Show.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the relevant radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
You know, I think it's so interesting that our Lord could come in any form into the world, and he chose to come in a family.
He could have chose
to family.
Come in a family. He wanted a mother, an earthly father, showed up as a baby. He could have shown up as an adult.
What's,
and just walked out of the desert when that's
the,
as he began his public
course,
life. God the Father thought so much of the beauty and the sacredness and the dignity of the family, of marriage, that he wanted his only begotten son, who happened to need nothing. He wanted him to grow up in a human family. He wanted him to have a mother and an earthly father. God the Father was also savvy enough to know, I'm having trouble getting through to my people. I've tried an abundance of ways to get through to them. Can't seem to do it. What's one thing that transforms human hearts? A baby.
Yeah.
All right. Life is turned around. How many people say to me now, because they've got like a grandchild or a new baby, they'll say Christmas was completely different this year. All eyes were centered on the baby, the new baby.
You're listening to The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
That was Cardinal Dolan, the Cardinal of New York. I love that. I actually caught that interview the other day. I was surfing the channels. I think it was either over the week or it was yesterday or the day before. Yesterday, I'm pretty sure that I saw him. And, boy, he's a gregarious pastor, a bishop, Cardinal Dolan. They actually blew out, I think, a break and just kept him on. And I just thought it was so great. Actually, it's refreshing to see mainstream media talk about the Lord, you know. Let's keep politics out of this, whether you're conservative or liberal, whether you love that station or hate it. I'd love to see a prelate. I'd love to see a high-ranking church official there with that platform, speaking about that reality, right? And that's what this season is all about. It's about the birth of the child Jesus. You know, St. Faustina, and many of the great saints had these encounters. There were saints like St. Anthony of Padua, St. Stanislaus of Kolska, Padre Pio. I mean, I can go through the litany of St. Catherine Emmerich. A lot of these great saints had either encounters and experiences with the infant Jesus himself, or they had visions of it. And St. Faustina, we know of her visions of Jesus. I often talk about many of those things and what the Lord has said, but she was given an extraordinary gift. I mean, Faustina had glimpsed heaven and hell and purgatory, which to me is just inconceivable, right? But she also glimpsed, you know, some people say, oh, if I could time travel, I'd love to go back to the time of Christ. I'd like to see St. Joseph and Mary. I'd like to... Faustina kind of did that. She was given a glimpse of the baby Jesus at midnight. And she experienced the beauty, just the inconceivable love that God had for her. You know, of course, throughout her life, she had a lot of visions. But this was, I think, one that was probably really dear to her. It happened the year before she died. She died in 1938, and this was midnight mass. She was going to mass on Christmas Eve in 1937, and she saw a glorious vision of the infant Jesus. And she wrote about it in her diary, and here's what she said. She says, when I arrived at midnight mass, from the very beginning, I steeped myself in deep recollection, during which time I saw the stable of Bethlehem filled with great radiance. You notice this common denominator in a lot of these encounters. It's always light, right? Light pouring forth from where Christ was born, from that stable, from the tomb, you know, from the Transfiguration on Mount Tabor. Light is such a big part. Here she is. She sees this celestial, this heavenly light. It was a heavenly light that guided the wise men, right? The Blessed Virgin Mary, she says, in this experience, what she was able to see, she says, she was totally lost. She was lost in the deepest of love. And she was just wrapping this baby. She was wrapping Jesus in swaddling clothes. And she said that, this is what she saw. Faustina wrote this in her diary. She saw St. Joseph. He was still asleep. You know, and you can only imagine how exhausted St. Joseph was. I'll stop on the vision for a second. I'll pick it back up. I was at Mass today, and we were at the network. Father Rocky had said Mass, and he said something that struck me during the homily, and I'll pass it on to you. It was about St. Joseph. You know, when the census took place, you know, Caesar Augustus, who was in Rome, wanted a census of the world population, so people had to travel back to the place of their birth, right? Father Rocky made the case that, you know, it probably was not necessary that every individual had to go back, but the head of their household, right? The head of the household was Joseph. He could have went by himself, right? He could have went back, accounted for the census, says, yes, you know, I have a wife and we're having a child or whoever. But no, he knew Mary was very close to birth. So what he did was he took her with him. Can you imagine that? How many people were on the roads, all making their way to the towns of their birth to give the census taker an accounting, right? Now, he didn't have a lot of money. They had to make it on foot. They get there, and, of course, people have made it before him. Every place is filled. The inn is overflowing. They have nowhere to go. And this man who walked so far, took this pregnant woman with him, has got to end up in what was a stable, a cave at the time. You know, and he must have not only been exhausted, there was a lot of treachery on the roads. A lot of people were robbed. There was a lot of danger on the way there. But the exhaustion that comes with that. So there they are. They finally make it. St. Joseph falls asleep. And here Faustina has this vision. She sees the birth having been given. And the Virgin Mary lost in I call it an ecstasy of love. Faustina writes, she was in the deepest of love, wrapping Christ in these swaddling clothes. And St. Joseph passed out. He was asleep. Faustina said it was only after the Blessed Mother put Jesus in the manger that the light of God awakened Joseph. Joseph awoke from the slumber, and immediately, you know what he did? He joined her in prayer. They did adoration. They adored. But after a while, Faustina said, I was left alone. I was there. I was left alone with the infant Jesus who stretched out his little hands to me. And I understood that I was to take him in my arms. So I picked him up and I pressed his head against my heart. And he gave me to know just by his profound gaze how good he found it to be next to my heart. And it was at that moment that Jesus just disappeared. And the bell was ringing. I was back in church. And it was time for Holy Communion. I mean, what an experience, huh? To glimpse the very place of Christ's birth. To see Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. And then this incredible gift. To be able to be alone on that Christmas morning with the Son of God, the second person of the Trinity. It was a brief encounter, but one that communicated to Faustina really just the immeasurable lesson. It reinforced in her heart the immense love of God and really the true meaning of what Christmas is all about. It's not just about our Christmas trees and our twinkling lights and the gifts and all the rest of the stuff that we get distracted by. It really is about the second person of the Trinity, the Son of God, taking on human flesh, being born in a stable. You know, if you want to do anything, meditate on the mystery of the incarnation, meditate on the mystery of the virgin birth, meditate on all that takes place that follows that. Christ hanging on a cross, right? It looked like he was defeated, nailed to a cross like a common criminal. And it was in his defeat that there was victory, right? It was in his humility that he was born. It's a lesson to all of us on so many different levels. Christmas is principally about welcoming Christ into your arms, right? Letting him rest in your heart. This Christmas, think about that. Put him in your arms. Press him against your heart. It's not a surprise. It's not, to me at least, surprising that the vision occurred immediately right before Holy Communion when Jesus can do exactly that. When you go this Christmas and you receive the Lord truly present, body, blood, soul, and divinity, in the Eucharist, through the reception of the Eucharist. Meditate. Embrace Christ. Put him in your heart. You know, feel his love. So Christmas is a special day. Remember the vision of St. Faustina. Let it dominate your thoughts. Let it dominate your prayers. And in so doing, you know, you can only imagine the little baby Jesus opening his arms to you that Christmas day, waiting for you to pick him up. Then receive communion. And encounter that grace that he wants to give you. Hey, I've got to hold that thought. When I come back, I often talk about, you know, Christmas being a time of miracles. I believe that. I want you to believe that. I'm going to share a classic story with you, one that I share every year. It's a true story that took place to my family, my mother and my father in particular. And I remember somebody said, oh, that can't really be true. And my mother was on the radio with me one day. She called in to wish me a happy birthday. And somebody asked her to tell the story. She told it exactly the way I'm about to share it with you. You'll love this. Look, I want you just to have a happy and blessed Christmas. Thanks for allowing me to be part of your afternoon. Stay tuned. You will love this story. More straight ahead. Hey, the University of Mary, our sponsor, has a Christmas gift for you. But you're going to have to wait for the Three Kings to arrive to hear about the special opportunity. A tuition-free nursing academy with applications closing January 31st.
This is the Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio and on the Relevant Radio app.
Christmas for me has always been an enchanted time. You know, it's almost magical. I remember as a little boy getting so excited as Christmas approached. I was captivated by every Christmas story. I loved looking at the bright Christmas lights and listening to the Christmas carols as they played on the radio in our home. I just remember it taking me hours just to fall asleep on Christmas Eve, my mind dancing with thoughts of all the Christmas presents I would open the next morning. Yes, Christmas was a special time. It was my favorite time of year, and my parents always worked hard to make sure it was. My mother and father have always instilled in me, by their example, the importance of faith, charity, and compassion. They taught me that I must always thank God for what I have and reach out to those who have less. They wanted me to know that Christmas was not about material things. Rather, it was about the birth of Christ. It was about salvation history and God's deep love for us. To me, Christmas is also about family. It's about giving as well as receiving. And I'd like to share a personal story that means a lot to me and especially to my family. It's the story of charity and love and of loss and reception. It's the story of a Christmas miracle that occurred to my mother when I was just a little boy. It was a bitterly cold, snowy Christmas Eve. My parents had gathered toys and gifts from friends and family and people in our neighborhood with the intention of giving these to families that had nothing, whose children Christmas morning would awake and find nothing under the Christmas tree. So several people gathered in our home, wrapped the gifts, and then they set off to deliver the presents. My mother also just finished wrapping our Christmas gifts, and she stored them safely in her bedroom closet, all set for when she would return and prepare her own children's Christmas. You see, she knew how much we loved Christmas and always worked hard to make it special for us. My mother was now set, so she and my father set off into the cold night on their mission of mercy. They spent the greater part of that evening visiting people who had much less. In fact, the memory of the people they encountered that night, some desperate, some impoverished, some alone, still bring tears to my mother's eyes. She often recalls her experiences, and I can only too clearly feel the compassion that she and my father felt as they visited a poor black woman living in a little one-room place with, well, they said absolutely nothing. In fact, in the far corner of that woman's cold and drafty home lie her little daughter asleep on the floor. As my parents unpacked the gifts that they brought for this little girl, tears streamed down the eyes of the woman. She was both surprised and speechless. Her daughter would have Christmas after all. They eventually left this woman, only to visit many other homes. The reaction from those they met ranged from shock to incredible joy, with the exception of one remarkable woman. As they approached her home, a gentle snow was now falling. There was something in the air. It was a feeling that was hard to describe, a feeling that there was something different about this home, something special. As they knocked on the door, they were greeted by a woman who seemed to be filled with an incredible inner joy. She gazed at them wide-eyed and said, "Come in. I've been waiting for you." Now, this confused my parents because none of the people they visited that night knew that they were coming. So my father asked her, he says, "What do you mean you've been waiting for us?" She smiled a bright, warm smile, then walked over to the table where she had already prepared hot tea in expectation of their arrival. And she looked at each one of them and said very simply, "I knew that God would not disappoint me. You see, I have nothing, and my children have nothing. But I've been praying that God would provide a Christmas for them. So in trust and in faithful expectation, I prepared this tea, and I've been waiting for whoever the Lord was going to send. When I heard the knock on my door, I knew it was the answer to my prayers." The deep faith of this poor woman and her total trust in God's providence moved my parents deeply. They spent the better part of an hour just talking and sharing and laughing. It was now getting late, and the woman had been the last stop on my parents' journey that evening, and all the presents they had gathered now had been given away. That night was a special night. My parents had brought Christmas to those who had nothing. They gave, but at the same time, they also received. While the snow was now falling heavily, and they barely made it home, they still had to put out gifts for their own children. So my mother went to the closet where she had stored her Christmas presents before leaving, only to find the surprise of her evening. There was nothing in the closet. It was empty. Her mind reeled. Had she given away, in all of the confusion, her own children's presents? Fear filled her heart. Would her own kids awake in just a few hours and find nothing Christmas morning? She scoured the house, checking over and over again the closet where she had stored the presents. They were nowhere to be found. Tears filled her eyes, and her heart was broken. She had no idea what she was going to do. Meanwhile, my father stood by, helpless, not knowing what he could do. So, wiping the tears from her eyes, she called her sister to tell her what had happened and to share her grief. You see, my mother's nieces were teenage girls, and when they learned that we would have nothing Christmas morning, they offered their own gifts, saying, "Oh, we're older. We don't really need presents." That was a beautiful gesture of kindness and generosity, but those girls were teenagers and much older than we were. My mother knew that their presents wouldn't be appropriate. She thanked them and told them that, like the woman she had met, God would just have to provide. It was now too late to do anything, and all the stores were closed. The roads were impassable. Snow had blanketed all the arteries, and they were stranded at home. So in the quiet of that cold and silent Christmas Eve, my father and mother sat down and prayed. They asked God for mercy, not for them, but for their children. They asked for a Christmas miracle. As they turned off the lights and prepared to turn in for the night, my mother went to her bedroom, broken. She knew that evening she wouldn't sleep. She would only cry. As my father silently prepared for bed, he went to the closet to put away his shoes, when suddenly he let out a gasp and cried for my mother to come quickly. She ran to see what was the matter, and shock overtook her. God had heard her prayers. There, sitting right before their eyes, as big as life, were the Christmas presents that had disappeared, the very presents that she thought she had mistakenly given away. Her children would have Christmas, after all. Well, needless to say, we had the best Christmas ever, and so did my parents. You know, to this day, we marvel at the mystery of the missing gifts and their miraculous return. You know, my mother, I believe, has the most practical theory for what happened that evening. You see, on that cold Christmas Eve, they journeyed to many people's homes, and they met people who had nothing. Yet even in the midst of all the conversation and giving, my mother never really could understand what those poor mothers felt. The helplessness, the frustration, the disappointment, and even the despair of having nothing for their children on Christmas morning. You see, my mother believes that God, on that Christmas Eve, gave her a great gift. He showed her how truly blessed she was. He showed her the power of prayer and of providence. Above all, He showed her the power of His love and mercy. So to those of you listening right now who feel desperate and alone, I want you to know you're not. If you do nothing else, pray, trust, and believe that God knows your situation and that He will provide. For Christmas is a time of miracles. Just ask my mother. I'm Drew Mariani. From my family to yours, I want to wish you a blessed and happy Christmas.